763.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good, wonderful evening. This is Uncle Billy live. Time out for customer communication. What a great evening. This is Uncle Billy Live. No, it's not Memorex. You can tape it if you want to, but I get iPods. And I'm on Facebook and Twitter. So, and soon, that will not be all. I am pressing the buttons and dotting my I's and crossing my T's. Doing everything that I really need to do right along now to send it to the moon. I have been talking with people for decades about how South Dallas is a hidden gold mine, and it comes to pass that no one's talking about it a whole lot, but deeper down in South, such as Lancaster and everything, you know, when they closing down the schools and saying the kids wasn't learning and stuff like that, it's a big difference, big change in that area now. So maybe it is a fact that, and I'm just assuming, you know what that means, but that there's going to be a shipyard out that way, Joppy and Lancaster and stuff like that. Well, either way, it makes me happy because, you know, the land is basically unused, but that's because it was never discussed about selling it, doing something else with it and stuff like that. So, you know, it's time for a change. I just hope some of the wise brothers that was up there advised some of their family members to purchase some of that property. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you know, even if it's a distant cousin that just happened to know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody, you know, land's still the same, or pretty much so. But irregardless of all we're speaking of, let's start talking about the push to reinvest in South Dallas. Because I remember the times when I was a young boy walking to school, even the year or so that I spent up to Lincoln, walking to school, you know, walking the dirt streets and in the mud and in the snow, you know, no. Yes, Lord, we did not have paved streets. So, yes, it was a booger. But once we started getting paved streets and the buses started getting on the trolley and stuff like that, it got better and better. So, you know, it's all about trying to stay adaptable. Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, that will give you solace. That will give you a hernia just thinking about the evil things you can do, since you know all the other streets somewhere else is paved and stuff. You know what I'm saying? But no, we didn't even have sidewalks, good sidewalks and stuff. So anyhow, that all being said, thank God for progress. And now, my son asked me the other day, he said, I was telling him, I said, well, I got to make a push. I got to make a push to get me some property in South Dallas, or not get me no property. Let's open up me a place of business, you know. And I really do want, and people say, what do you want? I want so much, you know. I have worked dedicatedly hard, in a made up word, dedicatedly hard to get in this position. And now that I'm here, I'm ready to do something about it. I want a washer chariot with a pool hall over it. I want a restaurant with a domino table in the center of it. Well, yeah, I know the pool hall going to have a domino shack, too, but that ain't got nothing to do with what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a boneyard. I know y'all hear me. Yeah, where the bones can be played, and the neck bones and chicken bones and what other kind of bones? Oh, fish bones, all of that can be the real boneyard. You know what I'm talking about? No, y'all don't hear me. Y'all think, man, I've been thinking about this for over 20 years. So, you know, they say, sooner or later, good things will come to pass. It's time for mine. And don't have to be rebuilt. There's a couple of small properties down there that's suitable for the things that I'm looking for. And starting over is not very hard for me, because, you know, I wasn't born with anything. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, even if you play like you don't, I'm gonna still come up with the same thing. I deserve it. And yes, I am definitely gonna be going for it. Because, man, if you look at that pretty park down there where the Bunton family reunion is gonna be, a reunion that I started in 1996, it is still going strong. But again, if I'm able to get back into it, it's going to be bigger and better than ever. And that's the kind of stuff I want to hear. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Because there's a lot of people out there that I know want the same thing. Man, I went down Malcolm X a little while back before I really started looking at the different properties, and things are picking up. But guess what? If we get together and help pick up things a little better, like regroup the Clean South Dallas to where every month for a while we'll be able to go down through there and walk and talk, look at the land, look at the buildings, and see what might need to be replaced, what can be done better, and all of that there. Things will start getting better and better. But if we don't have any input in it, any questions of why it's taking so long, then ain't nobody else going to have it. And I keep stressing the fact over and over again. If not, and I mentioned this a little earlier, my son asked me, well, Daddy, if not you, who? I said, what you say, boy? He said, if not now, when? You know, stuff I used to tell him when he was a little boy. So I began asking myself, if not me, who? Who better deserves getting their own pool hall washer chariot than me? I know how to run it. I know how to operate it. I know how to keep individuals from siphoning off the monies, how to stop the young guys from going in trying to rob it at night. I know all of that. Because in doing so, once you get the community back in order, then you can redevelop a lot of the things that happened in the past. The great things, like the baseball games and the football games. Little League, they haven't had Little League football down there in a while, I don't think. I last saw one when I was down there a long, long while back. But I was getting prepared to get my kidney transplant and wind up getting a kidney and liver transplant, which was all good. So I wasn't able to check things out the way I normally would. But they got a wonderful recreation center down there. It's been down since I was a young tyke. And when I was a member of the Turner Court Neighborhood Association, yes, I was a big wig. I was a member of the Turner Court Neighborhood Association. I was vice president. That was so many years ago. I was just a young type then. But things are getting better. The quest for change and stopping the ignoring of the grandest area of town that Dallas has ever had seems to be ebbing a lot more lately, and the young lady that's a city council member, Miss Young, is doing some great things. She's putting the spotlight on South Dallas a lot, and so a lot about other politicians. So, you know, realistically, if you're all trying to say at the same time, if not now, when? Let's try to get it started today. Let's get on the air and ask some questions. Let's see what it's really all about. Because, you know, one restaurant, one neighborhood store, even if it's a convenience store, would make a idyllic change in that atmosphere wholeheartedly. And that's all I'm saying. I'm just trying to maintain a elaborate consciousness and realism that I've been expecting and hoping for and praying for years and years and years. I stopped short of running for city councilman. That sure would have been a rough thing. You know what I'm saying? So let's get some of these balls on the road and see what we can do with some outside knowledge, inside knowledge. We need some of everybody. We need people that know how to acquire some of these things. I have a couple of clients that's waiting to see what's going to get started and stuff. And I asked them once, and only once, you know, you don't want to pester the client. But, yeah, what was the problem with them being the first? They said, well, Billy, it's been our perspective that if you wait and see what's headed down that road, then you'll know how to follow it or send something better or change directions or whatever. So I didn't believe, I thought all of that was made up as we was talking. So I'm going to still be asking the same kind of questions. I said the magic word earlier. I'm not going to be pestering no one. But guess what? I'll be pestering a whole lot of somebody's if within a short period of time, nobody's put up no signs about moving to South Dallas or something like that. And, you know, I have my own time frames based on conversations that I've had in the recent past. So I'm going to keep it like that, you know, for a certain extent. But then I'm going to start calling names and what? You must have already bought your property up and it might be too early for you to use it so that the prices won't go up or something, you know. Whatever it takes, by any means necessary, we have to get this show on the road. We cannot, and I repeat, we cannot keep sitting on our butts and let people come in, buy up all the land, and then start complaining about it 15, 20 years later. Yeah, if I wasn't so dumb or so stingy, I could have owned that property right there. I could have got that for a little piece of nothing because I knew who was selling it and stuff like that, you know, stuff I done heard in the past when land was going for a little bit of nothing and still didn't do nothing. You know what I'm saying? We had a couple of guys that came in and tried to do a little something, but sometimes when you're trying to help too many people at one time and don't put the right people in place, you do it out of greed and not love or spirit, then, you know, sometimes it just don't work for you. Yes, I've had a couple of friends try to influence the growth in South Dallas, but they went around, went about it the wrong way. So, you know, sometimes you need to ask about consultations and, you know, what's a good street to move on? What's a good area to, you know, would you recommend or something like that? You know, sometimes, depending on what type of business you are, you know, you might want to be in an area that's congested with a lot of people, but that's just to protect your business, you know, stuff like that. It's all kinds of reasons that people do what they do, and then they have books on that kind of stuff, but when you're moving into a neighborhood that you've never even been able to function in, let alone live in, then, you know, I think you might know, it's just like knowing your body better than the doctors do. They just know what to do with it. yeah. Well, see, y'all can't get that one. See, y'all, yeah, that one was just too deep for y'all. Since I've had a lot of surgeries, you know, I know my body, but I still don't know it as well as the doctors do because when it gets sick or something, the doctors know what to do with it. Know what I'm saying? Yeah, I know y'all heard that part, but. And that's what it's all about. But when you know your community, when you know the side streets, when you know where the dogs come out to bark and where the dogs come out to bite, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, those are the type of things I be talking about when I'm talking. And those that go over your head too much, you got to start listening realistically. You know, this is a Ebonic station sometimes. And by being so, I get to talk with everybody. So sometimes it's just hard for some other people to understand. And I can get better. I will get better. Call in your complaint. Say he shouldn't be talking ebonically, and I will stop. Trust that. Yeah, you know, I'll be your online personality. You just tell me how to do it. I know you heard that part. So let's get on to talking more and more about South Dallas and the regrowth. Because, yes, as I said, I went up to where the new school has been relocated over on Grand and Malcolm X. That is one nice school. I understand the Social Security office is somewhere in that area. You know, it's getting better and better every time we speak, you know, about something, because you think of something there. Yeah, you know, you still got Robert's Ready to Wear on Malcolm X. You got Henderson's Chicken on Grand Avenue. You know, you got Fair Park over there that they are stripping just before our eyes. Man, it is so beautiful over there. Who haven't taken their kids over there just to look at the museum? I bet you it's a million of y'all. That's got to change. That's got to change. And oh, Lord, we got to put a vote on that. They got to put a hole on Fair Park. Man, they're taking all the museums out of there and putting them downtown and stuff. And, man, it's a treasure of museums in the Fair Park. Who haven't been able to watch the trains, man? The museum, where the trains are, and stuff like that. You know, you go over to the movie theater over there and shake well and roll in the seats. Oh, man, see that? Y'all have missed all of it. Y'all don't even know your own community. But this too shall pass. That's got to pass, because if you don't start knowing your community, you live it in the wrong community. That means you don't come outside, you don't do nothing. I hate to say it like this, but I would definitely not miss you if you moved. Because if you're not going to be a subsequent part of the community, then might I ask, why are you living over here? I'm just being hypothetical, you know. Do you have a reason to? Is it just dirt cheap that got you over here and you don't really care? You don't care whether the community grows or not? Or what is it? You know what I'm saying? Are you one of the kind of people that just go home, stay in the house, come out the next day, go to work, go back home, stay in the house? Now, that sure is pitiful. But, you know, who am I to judge? Because you're not having no fun. You're not able to go down on the park. You're not able to see some of the things that we see just by looking out at the street, looking down Farrell Street. You can see all of the beauty and all of the history. The pecan trees that's been down there for hundreds and hundreds of years. They had more pecan arches down there than you can shake a stick at. I mean, you could walk out your house, out your door, and wind be done blowing pecans in your yard if you was a mile away almost. Just that many pecan trees. And so it was a lot of things that was going on, and that, we all had a great time growing up in and around and everything else. You could go down and ride the horses at the horse stable. And so, we just want to get together and do what we can to enhance your chance at seeing South Dallas and leaving there with a smile on your face by being able to say, "Ooh, I didn't know that." Because I understand that. I can justify that by saying that I can't say whose fault it was, but I can say that stigma is no longer able to be produced in any area, and it comes out of a person's mouth or a person's newspaper or a person's radio show or something else without being questioned, especially if I hear about it. Because, you know, those type of days of name-calling and degrading other communities and people are really over with. You know, Nowadays, you can't even talk about the Ku Klux Klan. So why would you say something bad about a neighborhood that you have never visited, never seen, wouldn't begin to understand if they stayed next door to you? Because who's from Bunton? I know I am. Oh, yeah. Very proud of it. Some of the people that I went to school with, like Barbara Humphrey, played flute all over the world, the best flautist in the world. You know, Dwayne Thomas, called Tom Landry Paper Man or something. And Gil Brand, he called all of them names. I can tell you some people from my neighborhood that you would love probably to be your neighbor. Yeah. And some that thought they was from my neighborhood, like Fathead Numa, best goddoggy saxophone player ever played. Yeah, stuff like that. I know you all gonna say Wynton Marsalis and all of that there. I just like to keep it going. At least we got some names that we can put up there. So, you know, and South Dallas just has so much history. Like I said, the oldest pecan trees in Texas. Probably the last standing one, in first and last historical pecan tree in Texas is in South Dallas, I believe. Now, I'm not going to be saying I'm no historian or nothing like that. But I do know for a fact that South Dallas is
Hello.
So historical. Hello, Miss Wonderful.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm blessed
I'm
and
well,
highly
favored.
Yeah, I'm
blessed
I'm, and highly favored. Giving a history lesson.
Really?
Yeah, I'm telling
South
you
Dallas
people
history?
About it. Yeah, about the oldest, I think it's the oldest pecan grove and the last standing oldest pecan tree in the state of Texas. Now, that's just my opinion. You know, I've been known to be wrong. But I know we got some old pecan trees right down there at Bill Blair Park, the prettiest park in Dallas, non-withstanding, non-sand. Sure is Bill Blair Park, formerly Rochester Park.
Rochester, yes.
Yeah, it's now Bill Blair Park. I used to watch Bill Blair and folk like that. I didn't know he was my uncle's friend till my uncle died. But I used to watch them play baseball on the park down a long, many years ago, way before you was born. And stuff like that. So, you know, it was a blessing when one of my friends got to be the main artist for, at the time it was Rochester Park. He did all of the artworks that's down there on the brick and cement and stuff.
I haven't visited that place in a while.
Yeah, well, he did
all
of that.
And where's Rochester Park?
It's on off of Bear Street on Valentine. You can go down Valentine. You can go down Doris. You can go down Silkwood, or you can go down Rochester and get to it. Yeah.
I haven't been there in years. I used to have concerts there too.
Yeah. Well, we fixing to start back. We are going to be having some of everything because one of my pet peeves was, and I started a Bunton, Rose Terrace, Turner Court family reunion in 1996, the year before I took ill. And they are still going strong with it. This year alone, I'm going to be back involved. And, and we're going to be getting some sponsors that can get parts of the other part of the country and the world to come down and visit. And I'm starting that campaign this week as soon as both of my websites are up.
Wow. That is very nice. I'll be happy to be a part of that.
Well, it's going to be wonderful.
Do you know who you're speaking with?
My best friend in the whole wide world. I've been missing for 20 years almost. Yeah. Yeah, Doc, this is your show. I was just holding on till you got here. Because what I was trying to give the people a heads up about, I know I supposed to have some calls coming in here a little later because I told them you wasn't going to be on. They didn't want to talk with me. And I told them that you were in full capacity. If they really needed you as a doctor or a dentist, you could answer some questions, but you really wanted to see what the needs or the thoughts was about South Dallas, and you had some input that might impact some of the things that you tried to do. I'd already mentioned to them a long while back that I had a Kroger card that I got from a young dentist a long, long time ago. And
we were going to do the
Malcolm X. The
Malcolm X Community Services.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that was in the 90s.
Yes. And all of that stuff. I've been telling them we was on the way. We just hit detours and stuff like that. You know, stuff happens.
Yeah.
But now that we're back together, it's on and popping. We're going to include all of South Dallas in the southern sector. I was even telling them about the levy that's being slowly put together in the southern sector of Lancaster and stuff like that.
For a
shipyard. Yeah. They've been planning the shipyard for ages. A long, long time. And that's another reason to close. Now, I'm just putting my opinion out there. If anybody don't like it, they can say you wrong. When the schools was closing in Lancaster, after all of them kids were getting A's and graduating, some cool SOID or whatever that is, they closed all of those schools and said them kids wasn't graduating fast enough or something. And every time you hear something, the kids booming, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, of course. They were coming out and they were being successful.
Yeah, and his name was Larry Lewis. I'm telling you, the best principal, one of the best principals. My little niece would kill me if I don't mention her principal.
Oh my goodness.
Kids was really coming out with a purpose. You know, they had ideas of what they wanted to do before they got out of school. And when they got out of school, they were doing it, you know. Maybe we'll have
the opportunity to go into the schools and see what's going on.
We're going to be trying to get some mentors together to get in the school because I know this from the past, even when I was a young child. Uh-huh. The more you had parents of other kids and parents of the kids in the school, the less problems you have with bullying and everything else. But nowadays, they don't even like to invite the parents into the schools hardly. You know,
Well, in South Dallas, there's so many kids in one class.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to expect. I mean, you know, to realistically accommodate the parents being involved during the day. But certainly something can be worked out to where we can have much more parent hands-on with the parents during the day. Most people work, though, you know.
Yeah. Well, see, there's a organization called Partnership in Schools, it's a very large organization. I put out a feeler a few months back because I knew these type of conversations would be coming up. So I've set up a group with them to honor what they said and verbally to me was that they would love to create some partnerships in our school systems here. You know, and it's very economical, and the whole nine yards. And so they put mentors in classrooms, and they pick students out for, you know, monitoring. You know, they can watch those students. If they pick out 10 students, they can monitor those 10 students. And then what a lot of people fail to realize, if you see your classmate getting better, you get better.
Yeah.
It's osmosis, you know. And so, and that's all we have to do is start pushing some buttons and stop dying ourselves, stop saying that we can't do this, we can't do that. I wouldn't even, all my kids know, if you said can't in my household, I don't care if you was 40, you got this time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I asked them, how many times did you cry? So, all of that. So, you know, it's basically stop trying to pass the buck and stop trying to say that ain't my job and, you know, start doing what you're supposed to do, especially when you know your child is at home trying to learn how to read and you there laying watching TV with a 40-ounce or whatever. You know, I ain't trying to crack nothing because, you know, I've been there, done that. You know, one of my pet peeves is I might have been there, done that too much.
Well,
so, you know, I got a late start on doing the right thing.
It's exciting to know that you are doing what you're doing on this talk radio, and I'm happy to be a part of it, too.
You're a major part of it. Tell the world why you love South Dallas.
Well, I love South Dallas because I grew up here as well. The first 5 years of my life was South Dallas. I grew up on Latimer Street and walked right up the sidewalk to Charles Rice, and did Charles Rice first, second grade. I think I went to Joseph J. Rhodes. I know I went to Joseph J. Rhodes for a minute. I went to Madison for a minute. Pearl T. Anderson. So, that's why I'm afraid to go to South Dallas. Yes, I have no fear that my parents were there. In fact, I was born at that, remember that South Dallas Hospital that used to be right there where the old Central Expressway?
Yeah.
It was recently a retirement home. What was it called?
Yeah. It was also a drug center, a rehab center.
No.
I know exactly where you're going.
Well, that's my mother. When she went into labor, she just got up and walked around the corner to the hospital, and that's where I was born. And then when I got my vaccinations, I went up there to Dr. Conrad's place up there on Malcolm X, which was at that time was Oakland Avenue. And there was Dr. Conrad, Dr. Shelton.
I knew who you're talking about.
I think there was a Dr. Morgan too. Yeah, that building, which I currently own, I call it now Conrad Professional Building, because back in the 90s when I kind of got on board with the South Dallas Renaissance, I went and put my money back into the community and reopened that building. Little did I know or realize that that was the place where I was when I got my vaccination for first grade. And I didn't realize the historical value at the time. That place being the only site, it was a medical facility, and that was the only place where the black doctors could go and do their internship in Dallas for a while. And I had no idea that that's what I was buying into. That was definitely divine intervention. And it's amazing how just going in there, purchasing that building, painting the walls, mowing the grass, breathing life back into that building. Before we actually opened, patients were at the front door waiting for service, and I had to tell them, turn them away and tell them we weren't open yet. So, and I say that to say that in your quest, I call you my South Dallas Renaissance man, the most interesting man in South Dallas, because you have a genuine love for it, And I just, you know, I want to partner with you in any way I can to help, because I wanted to do it back then, but you know, we had limited resources and there were other things going on.
Well, I tell you what, I'm working on a website right now, and well, tomorrow it should be finished by this Friday. And the one that's already finished, Welcome to Uncle Billy's World, well, it's not quite finished, but it's up. And so the one that's being worked on is Uncle Billy's New Renaissance. So you use Renaissance in new terminology. Your last conversation, you use Renaissance about three times. And so it's a wonder that we haven't been talking on the phone all this long and using the same words, the same phrases.
Mm-hmm.
Just natural. And see, that's a great thing, because that means we're on the same page.
Yes.
And it's Uncle Billy's New Renaissance, and it should be up by this Friday, because I'm not taking anything less, because as soon as we can get these people to understand, it's all about us right now. We are just like some sick children that needs picking up, dusting off, and starting over again with a new frame of mind, a new outlook, and everything else that's going to be progressively good for South Dallas.
Yes. Well, so, my vision or my hope by being here with you, Mr. Parnell, is that we can reconnect, reunite, raise consciousness of the young people and the old people in South Dallas, and bring the beauty of South Dallas to its fullness. To its fullness, and the visual and the wonderful souls and spirits that live there, that are just waiting to be tapped into, not just for the survival or the thriving of that community, but I actually think that if combined or solidified, that South Dallas can make a difference nationwide and even be a beacon or a model for some of the other decaying neighborhoods. Well, some of the neighborhoods that are decaying, because South Dallas is not decaying. What I would like to see is some in the next 2 months for us to bring in some old and new names in the neighborhood and talk about some of the high school, junior high and high school sports, keep those updated, and you know, and then maybe tap into some of the musical talents there and you know,
yes,
to get some of those people to come on and perform.
Well, like I was telling the listeners just before you arrived, I was so proud of some of the people that I grew up with, like Barbara Humphrey, the best flute player in the world. She
did a performance this summer. Did you know that?
Right, but I was tied up at that time. Your work is never done.
She was at the Opera House this summer.
Yeah.
You know who brought her here? The Lynx did, and that's another group that we'll want to attack.
I used to have a lot of best friends at the Lynx. I tried to force one of my little nieces to join the Lynx. I think she was 18.
Really?
You know, Uncle Bill, I'm ready, too old for me. I said, we're a grown up thing.
Well, they're
on a mission, but they always doing something, you know, productive. And I love people like that. And I just wanted her to be like that. So, and guess what? She turned out to be just like them, like most of them.
Really?
Yeah, I'm so proud of her. Yeah. But you know, I was pushing. I was pulling. No, Uncle Bill, I'm too young for that. So you know, like you see, you had that fire and passion when you were so young that I was just drawn to it. But I used to stand up in meetings and tell everybody, if you all aren't going to discuss doing something in South Dallas, then what am I in this meeting for? And they'd look at me. You need to be on city council if that's all you want to talk about. No, that's not all I want to talk about. But it was my major forum, major discussion in coming down here. And, you know, stuff like that. Yeah, they get hot as me. There ain't no story. I talked to one of my old clients a couple of months back, and maybe about 3 or 4 months. And they told me to bring some numbers because they can't get African-Americans, and I'm not going to call the name of the client now, but that they can't get enough to purchase the franchises and stuff like that. So, you know, it's going to be a good fight. It's going to be long and drawn out, but, you know, winning by leaps and bounds every week goes good on my record, you know. Every time I accomplish one of them, I just start on another one because we got a lot to do in South Dallas. See, I tell people when I was a little boy and I walked down at that time, like you said, it was Oakland Avenue, I saw all kinds of businesses that would let you stop in the door and get a drink of water and, you know, stuff like that. And it was furniture stores and, you know, stuff like that, real furniture stores.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, there was furniture stores.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the cool thing is that nobody's afraid. And if we can get to the point where we're not afraid to go to South Dallas.
Oh, we got another caller. Let's see what she has to say to the doc. Wonderful evening.
Good evening, Uncle Billy. How you doing?
I'm blessed. How are you, Miss Guru? Guru of South Dallas. The lady that knows all and calls Uncle Billy with the news. You have the doc on this end. Right now, that's what we're going to call her until she finishes telling us how growing up in South Dallas was so good to her. But right now, we want to hear the question you have to ask the doc.
Hello, I'm here. Who's speaking?
My name is LaVera Heath.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Absolutely, loud and clear. Okay. Miss LaVera Heath.
Yes, and who am I speaking with?
I am Dr. Morgan.
Dr. Morgan, okay.
Yes,
I got
Michelle Morgan.
Some information about you. you were
yes,
at some of our...
I'm a local dentist. I've been practicing in Dallas for 25 years.
Oh, wow. 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 Well, you know, the clinic that you were practicing in is where we, wasn't it right there at Marburg and Malcolm?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes. That was my old clinic back in, when I was on under AFDC.
Oh, wow. I forgot.
Yes.
I haven't heard those four letters together in a long time. That's amazing.
Well, that's what you'll hear with us because we go back to those days.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I got some of my the worst feelings I ever needed.
Really?
Because of all that chocolate I was eating back then.
Oh, my gosh. When did you go there? What year were you in there?
Well, I'm 55 right now, so that would have to be around the 70s.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah, the 70s.
Well, that is so awesome to hear that because I tell you,
I was a dentist for 4 years when I bought that building, and it was divine intervention. I had no intentions of owning a medical building. I had just saved up my little down payment from a Mercedes, you know. And I was riding in South Dallas looking for barbecue, and I saw the building that had for sale on it, and I couldn't get it out of my head. And God just, you know, when my real estate agent took me in the building, I almost couldn't breathe, and it was clear that's what I was supposed to spend my money on, you know.
Wow.
And I was talking to God. I said, but I want my car. And God said, no, you buy this building. And I said, okay.
Wait a minute. That age-old decision that old people always say, how the heck are you going to buy a car when you can buy some property? And some
of
us
say, well, I was young, honey.
No, I'm listening to you. You made the right decision. I bought the car.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Do you hear me?
I bought the car.
Yes.
I do.
A 1984 Honda Civic.
Gave
me problems for you. Yeah,
uh-oh.
It got it in 1984. So I just knew I was the stick.
Well, you were.
That new cost meal.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes,
well,
but
but the thing is, it was so worth it because I mean, it has served so many people. It's phenomenal, and I still own the building. I don't work out of there anymore, but I have, you know, there's a children's dentist there, there's a children's doctor, there's a pharmacist, and I mean, it's like. Life was breathed back into it, and it's just amazing. Right in the middle of the you know, South Dallas.
Right. Well, where are you originally? What are you originally hailed from? Where are you from?
I'm from South Dallas.
You grew up in South?
Latimer
Street. I'm from South Dallas. Latimer.
Wow. So you attended Madison?
I graduated from Kimball, and then I went to SMU, and then I went to Baylor.
What's your name?
Morgan, Michelle Morgan.
Morgan? What year did you graduate SMU?
85.
Oh, wow. Wow. You're a young girl. I think I did see your picture. 85. Did you know any Deltas? I played Delta at SMU.
I do know some Deltas. I didn't pledge. No.
Okay.
I couldn't afford to do that.
Who
I was there when
know?
Clarence Glover was there. Paula.
Oh, well, Clarence. Yes. Oh, you knew Paula and Clarence. Oh, wow.
Yes.
That's a coincidence. Wow. What was the first year that you actually went to SMU? 80, your first semester.
83.
Was it spring?
Fall,
I mean, fall
of
spring.
83. Fall
okay.
83.
Okay. Well, I graduated spring. I graduated spring 83.
Did you really?
Sure.
Awesome.
Yes.
What is your line of work?
Right now, I'm home health care.
Awesome. Well, there you go. Another South Dallas. Did you grow up in South Dallas?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow.
Yes, ma'am.
Look at this.
Straight from Rose Terrace Projects.
Wow.
As you said, you went to Kimball, so you would you should be familiar with Project Upward Bound.
Uh huh. Absolutely.
And that was. That was my gateway to SMU, Project Upward Bound.
Wow, that is awesome.
Yeah,
yes,
got me
ma'am.
Out of projects, 6 weeks out of, in the summers, and every Saturday, and I basically missed out, thank God, on a lot of the negativity besides the name. So
yeah,
I was in a different world. from a lot of my peers.
Yeah. Yes,
from
me
very
too.
Early age. And that's something else that I talked to Uncle Billy about, because I don't see the presence of a program like Project Overbound as visible as it was when I was attending school.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, now it's the Talented and Gifted program.
Right. But they still, had it. They had it. Let me see. When I was on Harding, there was some kids that were going about 2009 or 10. They still had it.
Uh-huh.
And if I'm not mistaken, they still have it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Right? They still have it. I'm talking with, our boys talking with Bishop College, SMU, and a couple of other schools about it. But when summer came along, I had to back off and try to get my websites up. So we will be talking with them soon about trying to do some educational programs in school areas.
Well, it sounds to me like there's plenty to do.
It's a lot to do.
Man, it's just awesome. It's awesome to have this platform to launch from, Uncle Billy.
Yeah. Well,
this is the first.
As I said, it launched a long while back. Two of the main participants it got sent off in different directions for a minute. Remember, like I said, the Kroger and the Malcolm X and the Malcolm X community program. It all started. We just got our heads turned, but now we're back on track.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, way cool. So what we're going to do, we'll have some, when we tune in again, we'll have some specific days that we'll have guests, and what we'll be discussing here this first quarter.
Well, as soon as I get off the air with you, or really before, I'm going to start accumulating that information. So, as I told you, that we can put it out early and often the Facebook, Twitter, and all the other different avenues that we have around us. Once people get to knowing who's on, what they're talking about, and the different discussions, text of it, they'll start listening in a lot more, you know.
Uh-huh,
and so,
is,
as I said, with that in mind, I have to figure out with you what's your best night or nights, and then because I'm going to get something designed with your okay, of course, so that we can put flowers out or something like that to let people know what you're doing and what as the programs go on and on. Because as soon as we developed a great listening audience, we'll be ready to do something at, say, the Bantam Reunion and start a movement.
Yes,
doing something all together with not just our feelings and our words, but you know, but by then, like I said, we'll be done had 20 or 30 meetings. The audience will be done picked up. People will forget what they talk about. They'll call in and say, "What was y'all talking about last week? Because I want to finish that," you know, and all of that.
Yeah.
And by seeing your pictures and stuff, they'll have someone that they knew they spoke with, and not how they look, all of this here, and they get better, you know, they feel better by calling and saying something, because they would have seen your picture and know that, yes, she's one of us.
Well,
she's
a
matter of speech. Who you
said? Yes. Well, what I'm going to do this week, too, is have all of the SMU graduates you know, come in and share their stories next week, and then maybe, you know, inspire, motivate. And
yeah,
inspire.
It's all about inspiring others to get better. When people see other people that they know, or somebody knew, and down the line and stuff, that when they did it, I can too. I know when I was young, that's all I used to say. If them old folks
well,
can
we
do
it, We appreciate the lady that called in. What's your name?
That's Miss Green. That's Laverne East. She called in and said what's going on down Malcolm X and in Buncombe and stuff, and keeps me posted, you know, because I'm stuck where I didn't call.
She does?
No, I am.
Right. Well, everybody knows me.
What's going on in South Dallas, period.
Yeah. Everybody knows me as Lavera.
Lavera?
Yes.
All right.
Lavera, if you say the name Lavera, there's only one.
Wow. Well, that's the first time I've ever heard it.
Okay.
Are you still living in the neighborhood, or do you keep your nose in the...
I am in the neighborhood. I'm at Malcolm and Pine right now in the apartments in South Dallas.
Wow. That is awesome. Yes. You live there. Awesome.
Yes. Yes, with a lot of people that grew up right around the same neighborhood that I did. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to leave my contact information because I would love to visit with you more partner with you to get in touch with these SMU graduates.
Sure. I'm on Facebook with a few of the Sarars and a couple of people. I just became computer literate, so to speak, a couple of years ago. And because I had been doing, actually I did about 10 or more years home health care, specifically with my mother. I actually have about 20 years home health care, but I did basically about 10, 12 years by myself, and that was an Alzheimer's situation. So I pretty much, when you do something like that, it drains you a lot. And I had gotten out of the mainstay and had to go back and get some computer literacy through Goodwill. Have a pretty good base over there.
Awesome.
And got on Facebook a couple of years ago and started getting back with some old friends. So basically just started networking a little bit and conversating about the current events and how things turn around historically. Some of the same things that are happening in the news now are some of the same things that we speaking about or speaking against, however you want to put it. So, basically, and then they're getting some bricks at SMU. Some of the Soros are paying, to get the Delta Sigma Theta bricks. Have you heard of that? Have you heard about that? Buying a brick or something for... put your name on it. I'm not too voiced on it because I wasn't, that interested in it.
Her phone dropped, man.
Huh? Hello?
Whose phone dropped?
It wasn't mine.
I'm still
here.
You. Yeah.
Okay.
Are you back, Doc?
Dr. Morgan? I didn't leave.
No,
oh,
Dr. Mark. Are you back, Doc?
Down there?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah. I'm here.
All right.
Okay.
So was there a large Delta population there?
No. Actually, I pledged spring 80 in my freshman year. Because the deltas were getting ready to, and that's a story within itself too. the deltas, basically, as you know, there's such a small population of minorities, and we were, all black then. I know that there's some Latinos and some other cultures within the ranks now. But at that time, chapter knew out it was getting, I was almost becoming endangered of, being extinct.
Well, you guys reached out to me.
Hmm?
The Deltas reached out to me.
Well, what happened was our line saved the chapter at that time in spring of 80 because we were given a special pledge line. And two of my friends that I had just met that fall, we had all decided that we were going to pledge Delta. But I wanted to wait until my sophomore year because my director of Upward Bound had advised us to wait, to get to know the campus first. And I said, I basically did what he did. He was like a father to us, Mr. Elwood. You should know Mr. Elwood. Yeah. So at that time, now you have to understand the scenario. Two of my friends, they were going to go ahead and pledge, and I was going to wait till the next, semester and pledge underneath them. So the more I thought, contemplated pledging under them, the more I knew I had to pledge.
Oh, with them. right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, and I really appreciate the value of that, too. My best friend in the whole wide world is what I call her. She's a Delta, and she's one of your sorrows, and you guys should probably meet. And I'd love to know what the Deltas are doing locally.
Oh, you know what? You may be, from listening to you speak, you're probably one of our honorary persons, because just like my nieces will tell you that I used to bring them on campus when they were young. Hello?
Yes, yeah. I'm listening.
Oh, okay. They were, like I said, we were in the projects in Bunton. And my nieces who were, they were born in 73 and 74, and we're talking about 81. So, they were little bitty kids. And when they were out of school, I would bring them to my dorm room. Mind you, I'm on the bus or somebody had to bring us at that time, okay? But I would make sure that they were acclimated to campus life to some degree. I always made sure that they had some semblance of understanding that there was life beyond the bricks, or as they always say, beauty beyond the bricks. But at any rate, they believe me, they remember it right to do, whereas I've forgotten a lot of things. And they're like, you took us to your room and you said you were going to class, and we stayed there watching TV until you got back.
Wow.
And I was like, wait a minute, where was that? And they're like, yes, you did, Aunt Vera. And so I'm like, oh, wow. But they had a chance, and I can really, really see the difference of them being acclimated or just introduced
some exposure
to that to that life, because it has a very, very positive upliftment that people who haven't gone through that scenario can't visualize. And
some people never been on a college campus, never have been.
Exactly, but they're very, very intelligent, regardless of whether they continued in college or not. When they get some, they're in the banking or in whatever they do, just professionalism. But there's another thing about just our family. My cousin, first cousin, was president of the NAACP chapter here in Dallas when I was 16. Our name is Daisy Anderson.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
and so
nice.
she was a member of the SM Rights People's Baptist Church at the time, which to us
wow.
at that time was one of the biggest so-called churches in Dallas, right? Or one of the more politically inclined churches, one of those in the black community, especially in South Dallas. And so she was Reverend Wright's choice as, and she went against Juanita Craft.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
really?
And I was her poll watcher when I was 16 at Warren United Methodist Church. So, actually, I had a lot of exposure. You know, God has been good.
You did.
You know, He ordered my footsteps so that I could learn not just, the bricks, but, the institutions. And, I made some headway there and, did my thing, so to speak. You know? I'm all good with it.
Well, I look forward to meeting you and working with Mr. Parnell Renaissance Man and whoever else.
Uncle Billy.
So, yeah.
Uncle Billy.
That's Uncle Billy. I'm sorry. I call him Mr. Parnell. I like your name, Mr. Parnell. You know what, guys? I've got a couple of people that have called me on the back line.
I understand.
They want to know how to tune in. Can you
dial that number. You got that magic number.
Okay.
One.
Just dial that magic number. And do they get to? I'm listening.
Yeah. As soon as I see the names come up here, I can clock them in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
And see, that's what it's all about. That's basically what I want to try to do with Charles O'Neill and somebody else that does a lot of traveling and need to talk to someone from all different areas of the country.
Tell them I'm on there.
Get them on there. Get them all on the air together and just have a group cover.
I know. This dude is one thing for me. Hold on. I'm sorry. What were you saying, Mr. Parnell?
I see. That brings to mind what I really want to do with Charles O'Neill, and people like that, people that don't mind talking with four or five people on the line so they can ask each other questions and, come to some type of conclusion right there on the line of how they going to get back, how they going to straighten things out and what's going to make, the group happy. And this can be duplicated all over the country. What we're doing right now can be duplicated. And that's what we really want to do. You mentioned earlier that you want to grow some other communities and regrow. That's my full thought on it, because once a long, long time ago, I was talking with this young lady from Austin, Texas, and we were having the same problems that they were having with, schools getting shut down in certain communities and stuff like that. And so we were talking, and she said, well, it's just that we're not communicating with people from different areas. All of this is happening all over the country, And I said, well, yeah, because I get it from everybody that I talk to from different areas. They say it's the same thing happening there and it's the same thing. So that's another reason we need to do this more often and find different topics that we're going to speak about, and then find someone else in other communities or other cities and see what they think about it. So that's my next chore.
Awesome.
I'm going to, so whatever we decide to speak upon, I will try to make contact with someone else and see if they're, Rainbow Pushing us, we have some of the same problems that they have, like they have in Chicago. Some like when schools went on strike there, we were having school problems here.
Uh-huh.
And so,
in Chicago?
You know, yeah. You know, last year and the year before one, they went on strike. And, yeah, it was a big thing because, they couldn't force them teachers to go back to school. Teachers said they wouldn't.
Wow.
Right?
The teachers
and,
wouldn't go
and, you
back.
You know, they had the same problems here. You
wow.
know, so we need to start kind of spread not the thought of what's happening in other cities just to see, you know, what kind of cooperation we can get from other cities. You know,
you're right. So, yeah, because you know, we think it's an just happening to us, but you know, if it's happening all over the country, we can see a pattern and we can intervene at that level.
Right. If we start off by being the good Samaritans to see what input we can give to help, you know, the good book always said, the more you give, the more you get back. So,
yes.
Yeah, so, you know, we see how much we can do to help somebody else just by passing on a few words, a few points of wisdom or anything, you know, a book like you did me yesterday. And, you know, stuff like that.
Uh-huh,
it really does help, though. It really does.
It does.
That book put me in the greatest frame of mind all day long.
Yeah. Did it really?
Yes, it really did.
Well, I do what people do to me. They say if you get, give, and if you learn, teach.
That's about
as simple as it gets.
Yes, Lord.
And it keeps going. It keeps going.
Well, I was telling the guru lady, Miss Lavera, about you a little earlier, and I told her, I said, well, no, she and I met a long, long time ago. When she first started dentistry in Dallas.
Yes.
A guy named Calvin Carter gave me your phone number. And I called and you said, well, yes, I'd like to advertise. I said, well, what do you have? You said, no, I don't. I don't have any of that. I said, well, we'll design you something. And I used your picture and it's been a wonderful engagement ever since.
It really has. That is so awesome. Calvin and I went to, we were in the, I think we were in the Talented and Gifted program together way back in the day. I didn't even know he was paying attention, but he was obviously paying attention when we went over there and sent you my way. I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah.
And also Dr. Jones over there. So I tell you what we're going to do next week. The next meeting, we're going to talk about some of the businesses in South Dallas that are there for the services for the community.
Do you have a list of them that way I can get in, do a little research on what they're doing and why they're doing it and whatever else so I can have something to say because I really would like to, you know, see some of them and see if a few people over there because of my old age and attitude and been gone for the last few years. I don't know too many of those folks, except for the ones you mentioned in your building. I know
all of those
you mentioned.
Well, there
like
are
the
those, pharmacist. And I'm sure that, Dr. Dino and them. And,
yeah.
But, that won't be a problem. I'll go around and make sure that it's okay for me to pass the information and pass their contact information if you want to say hello, and then maybe we can get to tune in and maybe share some experience of being over there.
Yeah. I greatly do. I try to tell people all the time, I used to have to fuss with people, but since they knew that I felt so largely vehement about South Dallas, they stopped saying bad things about South Dallas around me. Because they said, wait a minute, that Billy is y'all don't talk about South Dallas, you know. But it was always fun to me. because
yeah,
I grew up
me too. I
my
had
whole,
time.
Whole life.
Well, I've only got a few minutes left on the show here, and I wanted to thank you and our listening audience for spending some time. And I'd like to say that my New Year's resolution is to become my best self every day. And I'd like to hear what other people's New Year's resolutions are.
Well, mine is
no
to
matter
become
how
great
ridiculous
someone else every day.
To do what?
Do something great for someone else every day.
Really?
Yes. And that's mine.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful. Man, what about you, Ms. Rivera?
Well, actually, what my lifelong ambition is just to be the best person that I can be, and that is basically through having that Holy Spirit increased in my everyday life. And with that said, you know, all things are possible, that whatever the Creator has me to do. You know, some of the things that I thought I was going to do, the corners got turned a little differently. So I'm all good with that now. And I just want to let Him guide and lead me through the next phase, because as we all know, just by and I'm a journalism major, so I was always that one who spoke out, and I had to shut up for a while because I spoke too loudly for the powers that be, to a certain extent, if you understand what I'm saying. But just to give me that strength and guidance to speak with a certain tone that is more acceptable, which I've had to learn with the kids especially, because they let me know, my family especially, because they know me, first of all. And just toning it down and doing what God has already ordained for me to do. Those things that I have been dragging my feet on to a big extent. So, and asking Him for that guidance and that opportunity, where those opportunities haven't always existed. So that is my resolution. And that's been my resolution for a few years now. I can say since my mom passed around 2009. And I had to get up and go on and, you know, deal with a lot of health issues and also some what you call some mental issues when you're dealing with being to yourself for several years and you're only dealing with dementia patients. You kind of get stunned. And a lot of people don't understand that. So when they talk about it on these shows, the doctors, when they talk about it, from their medical perspective, I can understand them from that medical perspective as well as from a personal perspective, because it's similar to being in combat or at war, as they say. You know, you're sitting in a situation where you can't get out of it because of the love, and there's nobody that's assisting you. So, you know, it's something that as we get older, and it has really opened my eyes physically and spiritually to know that we have to live a certain way so that we can, you know, come to grips with that older self.
Well, yes.
But I got one quick question before you leave, Doc. The night that you want your shows on, what would it be?
I'm not sure right now. You know what? I'm sitting there getting ready to make some Nima Marcus cookies.
Well,
I'm serious.
I'm
getting ready to cook.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's well, I tell you what, Uncle Billy, I'm going to right now kind of tap into and interview the businesses around there, see how they're doing. See if I can get them enlisted in, you know, the Renaissance of South Dallas.
Right, right. So
that's
keep
what
me
I
posted.
Like to do.
Yeah, just keep me posted because, like I said,
okay.
Tomorrow night is my show. It's a little more lively because I usually talk about myself and what I did. And what I grew up. And so, the guru usually comes on and help me out. And then my son usually comes on and help me out. And we just talk about how things were and how things need to be and stuff like that. So now we're positioning on making a movement out of it and getting more people to understand why. Like I said, some of these things are meant to be done, should be done, should have been done a long time ago, but that's neither here nor there. We're going to talk about the now and the future.
Right.
All right. Well, I
and
will
so
be in touch with you.
My tonight's show is basically Uncle Billy again, Uncle Billy Live.
Uncle Billy Live. Most interesting man in South Dallas. Amen.
He is interesting, believe me.
All right. I will see you guys later. I'll talk to you later, Uncle Billy.
All right, call me in a few minutes, and let's talk about our very near future and how we're going to get together to have lunch and talk or whatever. So just give me a call when you can.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. My pleasure. The pleasure is all mine. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Good evening. Bye-bye.
Peace and love.
Peace and love to you.
Bye.